Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Wrestling heaven, a rumble in the sky. We lose a man who was a father, a loved one, a beloved competitor, a man who blazed a trail, not just for his wrestling family, but his family. Today we are saddened by the loss of Jim the Anvil Neidhart. If you would please allow 10 seconds in loving memoriam of Jim the Anvil Neidhart, please. A lot of stuff's going on in the world of professional wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. I am doing a new social science experiment, mad science experiment, dig it, about... You know, a few minutes ago, I messaged Granny. No, she's not fired, believe it or not. She's just going to join me on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, folks. There's a lot going on. It's WrestleMania, not WrestleMania. It is WrestleMania season, considering SummerSlam kind of fulcrums the whole build that stems from SummerSlam. But aside from that, folks, I've gotten away from talking about things or stuff that actually matters. And like I said, it is sad that the world loses a legend today, though most of you believe that the Anvil really didn't have a place in wrestling. That's not necessarily true. So, not only have we lost Mikai Volkov, Brian Christopher, Brickhouse Brown, and now Jim the Anvil Neidhart. I mean, we've lost a lot of legends. And what I realize, I'm going from subject to subject. I just want to spend some time, a little bit of time talking about Jim, is we should remember that he was part of one of the most influential factions. Not just that, man. Of course, everyone's going to attribute his relationship, his last standing relationship with his daughter, who carries on his legacy. Not everyone talks about Natalia unless she's on Total Divas, which is, you know, different story for a different day. Like one person says, talk better about this person while they're still here. And that's it. I don't feel, you know, compelled to talk, you know, an hour or two about it. I'm just going to lay it down. We lost a good brother in wrestling. It's a shame that he's gone too soon. It's a shame that he isn't, it's a shame that he's gone. I'm just going to leave it at that, folks, and let you know that there's a lot of wrestlers that probably gained a lot of insight from Jim. He was a good mentor to a lot of the young guys starting out in the business. Not only that, man, he was an excellent father, and he really put forth the effort into getting his family what they needed and when they needed it. And he wasn't one of the wrestlers that had demons that he was struggling with. So in short, folks, in memoriam of a legend that will not be forgotten, and our condolences go out to the Neidhart family. Again, I'm going to take 10 seconds for station identification, folks. Give me a minute. Okay, so just recently, we've seen what's been going on for Monday Night Raw, WWE SmackDown Live. Folks, this is kind of disturbing to me. They have reported sites saying that Asuka has officially walked from WWE based on a lot of legalities and a lot of lawsuits that are pending. I'm kind of pissed. Actually, I'm very much well pissed about that aspect of things because, look, I'm not saying that the women in WWE can't carry a candle to her, but when you go undefeated and then you go up to Maine and, well, we're not part of the booking or creative team and would not wish to be, but when you get news like Asuka leaving, oh my God, man, Nia Jax at one point left, but the difference between Nia and Asuka, if you look at the tail of the tape for both, obviously they come from different backgrounds. Asuka coming from Japan, Nia, you know, she was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. But the point is, folks, Asuka left, and it's not a no that she's ever coming back, but if a company like Ring of Honor or New Japan picks her up, you know, more power to her. I don't really like to dive into the drama, but it's just kind of annoying. It is kind of annoying that this is SummerSlam week and she's not featured in a championship match. It's no wonder when Becky took her spot. You gotta just move on. A lot of wrestlers will tell you it's a machine. And it's not the greatest of feelings seeing her leave. It's not. And I know it's weird, folks, not hearing Granny's voice, but, you know, I just decided I'm going to make an announcement. As of today, I will be doing solo shows. So if you want to book your spot on the show, this is a segue into the advertisements. If you want to book a segue or book, not a segue, book yourself on Wrestle Radio, you can do so by messaging me on WrestleRadio.com/Facebook. I respond to messages quite often, depending on if it's Luke Roberts or if it's Dusty Gold or Maya Jade. It doesn't matter. 3-943-3422 is the toll-free number as a guest. I can message you the number the day before and what time works best for you. I can adjust your times right here on Wrestle Radio Network. If you like to join WWE's network, you get your first month free. Preloaded card is $29.97, $32.27 with tax, depending on if you don't live in Florida, Florida is tax free. So get your WWE network subscription card from your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, Best Buy, 7-Elevens, and Walmarts. If you'd like to kick cancer square in the ass, you can do so by going to FindTheCure.com, SusanGComan.org, and CureForConnor.com. If you'd like to make your child's wish come true, then I got, you know, just one simple instruction for you. Go to MakeAWish.com, type in the name of the celebrity superstar or somebody that you wish to make your child's wish come true. Don't hesitate because you don't know how long you have with your child. Folks, Monster Factory Super Camp is coming up. Go to MonsterFactory.org. It is $100, this camp. Spots are filling up quick, so go to Eventbrite, type in Monster Factory Super Camp, September the 7th. Okay? There'll be scouts like Gerald Briscoe, Punchment Martinez, not scouts, but people that can help actually help you further your education in the world of professional wrestling. Contact Danny Cage directly through email. Go to MonsterFactory.org. Make your dreams of becoming a professional wrestler come true. There's limited spots available. If he's already closed up the portal, folks, on joining the school, then you contact him and plead your case. Do whatever you have to do if he has no spots left. Like I said, contact Danny Cage directly or contact the website via MonsterFactory.org. The email is MonsterFactoryTV@gmail.com. That is MonsterFactoryTV@gmail.com. For more information, folks, regarding the phone number or where the location is for Monster Factory, it's easy. We have Google. We have all kinds of shit to help you out with that. Trust me, you. Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey, where the structure of dreams is already setting in motion. Where, like, we structure dreams, we structure your career. So, you know, like, join that school, man. That school is phenomenal. It's already teaching me little by little. As many camps, I've only been to two camps, and I'm already learning, and I want to keep learning. So, monsterfactory.org, folks. Be there or don't be. So, folks, I got to tell you, as of lately, you know, I've been making a lot of changes on the show, little by little. It's not been heavily announced. It's not been discussed, but obviously, you know, Granny is not joining me today. That's a different story for a different, you know, topical discussion. So let me just inform you all of what's going on. I have a guest list that I'll be working on. So if need be, you know, I can fit any of you guys in. It's open bookings, meaning I don't have appointment logs. I do have a phone number that you can reach me by, private message me for details. So we'll be doing a panel every Wednesday, and the show is called, it'll feature Big Swing and Icon from another podcast. It sounds like a continuation of the advertisements right now. But I decided to do that because shows need change. I need to change, not too much entirely with everything. I'm just changing things little by little. So there's changes going on. There's a lot of closure going on in my life, folks, which I'm going to very much so go into it right now with you because I have limited time on here to discuss what's been going on with good old Brian Rails. The last, you know, 3 days have been very insightful. I was just in Memphis with a good buddy of mine, Kurt Gannon, and, you know, whenever you conversate, you don't allow a lot of people to understand what it's like, you know, being on the road, but I'm going to let you in on one thing, you know, and that's the closure that I absolutely needed, you know, from professional wrestling. So just give me a minute while I dig into my thoughts.
Dig the madness. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality.
Okay, folks, so when I say closure feels good on my end, I mean this. Now, I tend to jump to conclusions a lot and about a lot of people in this business, in wrestling business, that is. And one conversation in particular this weekend helped me get over said problem. Or, you know, post problems that I've been having with professional wrestling. And, you know, like I said, I don't let very many people into the idea that I'm going to give you every tidbit of conversation that Kurt and I have on the road. But I am going to say this. Whenever you go through professional wrestling, it can either help you, hurt you, make you want to marry it, love it, want to keep doing it, because it's the addictive feeling, folks, that you get from hearing a crowd reaction, the adrenaline pumping in your body when you go out that curtain. Whether you're a manager, referee, or wrestler, you'd be lying to yourself if you said, man, there's still some pieces missing in my career. There's still something missing from it. It's that constant, you know, wanting me to have validation. You know, you as a person or we as people in wrestling need some closure on. And there's a lot of things, like there's just so much immense amount of pressure building, folks, and kept building. And I felt like, you know, I had to express some of my concerns, my thoughts about how, you know, how much pressure it is to be planning stuff, you know, for a wrestling trip alone. It's really fucking one of them things that you don't plan on, like booking a flight, making a hotel. You know, you got to be precise. Otherwise, you're not going to make your booking. You're not going to make your trip. And I just, you know, I just felt like there's a lot of stuff that factored into me expressing my concerns and just finally letting go. Finally, you know, just pulling the trigger and telling my closest friend how I felt about, you know, me being pressured. You know, I feel like I'm back in the corner. I don't have much time to enjoy myself. I mean, that's not to say, well, that's a far cry for attention. That's not a cry for attention, trust me. But I got to say, it felt great because it's just like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And some people are like, you didn't even have a career. You didn't have a life-threatening injury. You can't even work. Why are you expressing how you feel? I don't care anymore, folks. I mean, I've had a lot of things bad happened because most of it was my doing. And it takes a lot for me to admit that I'm wrong. But you know what, folks? In this life you can live, you can either be a complete asshole and it can work for you, or you can be a complete asshole and admit that you were wrong, especially in professional wrestling. There's not a lot of leeway comes to me doing the right thing, or us doing the right thing as workers, meaning there's not a lot of leeway. If you do make a bad impression on a promotion, or you make a bad impression, period, on somebody, then that makes you look like the jerk. And it means your reputation really doesn't matter to the promoter or the booker. So, like, what I'm saying is, you can apologize and then do the same thing again, and it makes you look really, really bad. Or you can apologize and actually learn from your mistakes. And I know that I've done a lot of bad things in my life and my wrestling career, and I'm not dwelling on them anymore. I'm not upset anymore. It's just like I said, it was a sense of relief. It was a sense that I can fix this shit. I can make it better. I can do better. And I've done, you know, a lot. Like I said, I've done a lot of bad things, and I'm not going to go into detail. But I also have also helped and not gotten any recognition. Am I going to sit here and bitch about that? No. I'm going to tell you right now, I had some closure in a few areas. You know, I needed some stern reprimand. I've needed to be reminded that I'm not the best son of a bitch to walk this planet. I'm not. I'm just, as you know, I'm equal. I'm not to the level of certain people at Danny's school or any other wrestling school. And it was a wake-up call, man, at Monster Factory. It was a fucking wake-up call. I feel like such a douche canoe. I'm not anyone special. I'm just a kid that showed up to camp and basically was hesitant about certain things and needed a wake-up call. I think that's what Monster Factory did to me, was it allowed me to reflect and see, hey, shut up, learn some more, learn even more, absorb as much knowledge as you can. And even if I don't manage, I can learn. Like, I know that's not the purpose. You know, it's retarded that I don't go out and get bookings like I should. But no excuses anymore, man. No excuses, no feeling sorry for myself anymore. It's like it all evaporated on the weekend. It just, there's a sudden realization that I needed badly to acquire, and that was some closure. I had been holding so much shit in about, you know, like being pressured or going somewhere. I was stuck. It felt so damn good to conversate with Kurt about certain things and, you know, get them off my chest and be like, hey, this is how I've been feeling. This is exactly what I intend to do when it comes to wrestling. And this is exactly what I'm going to intend to do from here on out. I'm not going to look back anymore because there's no point. There's no fucking point of looking backwards and saying, this guy didn't pay me any attention. I feel disrespected, whatever. There's just so much about the professional wrestling business that it makes you wonder, am I going to make it? Am I not going to? Where's my place? I think that's the common question that most people have. Some people, I don't know. But my question always was, where do I belong? How am I going to fit in? What's my purpose for this business? And, you know, I've had a lot of realizations and a lot of reflecting to do. And I had help. Because in this business, man, you can either learn from what you did wrong, or you can just get caught or lost in the shuffle and be forgotten. And I refused, you know, be lost in the shuffle with the mentality that, man, the wrestling business is unforgiving. It's this, that, the other. I needed to take a step back and, you know, realize, man, I need to apologize to a few people. And I want to say, like I said, I don't like apologizing over a fucking podcast. I think that's retarded. I like to apologize to, but I have to anyways. I like to apologize to Danny Cage and the Monster Factory for my behavior, because no one should walk into a camp thinking they're better than everyone, or, you know, just show your bad attitude towards the business through a promo. And I did those things, and I feel like nothing can justify me doing it. Not just to hear myself talk, not just to get recognition. I need to make it right, because I feel that if I can say I'm sorry like a man instead of sorry just to hear the words, okay, you can do better. No, I'm sorry, Danny, for what I've done. And I know that I can just say the words, and if you don't, you know, accept it, it's fine. But I feel the need to say it, because, like I said, I felt closure on this weekend when I was in Memphis. It's like something that needed to be expressed, and to hear the words, I appreciate what you do, it goes a long way in this business. That's, to some people, appreciation is much better than no appreciation at all. And reassurance, I never used to be a big fan of that. I just, you know, would just go on about my business and be like, okay, cool, you know, whatever. But when it was said to me in person, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I just keep my head down, running at the ground and not paying attention to my surroundings, my own bills, because professional wrestling has consumed my life to the point where I have done stuff that's questionable, like, you know, taking out a loan here and there just to buy an airline pass. I have, you know, been, you know, helping out basically behind the scenes, but I don't really think that it's somewhat necessary to have constant self-reassurance because you want to hear that you did a good job, or I want to hear that I did a good job. So in other words, I have closure in certain areas now in my life and, you know, surrounding the, or concerning the professional wrestling business. And that's great, because I'm tired of being negative all the time about it and feeling like I'm compressing my anger about certain things or people. It's like, let go. Let go of all the negative, all the bad, and just live your life. I've never had that, folks. I never, in the world of professional wrestling, it can be, well, the business did me wrong, so therefore I'm pretty petty and bitter about it, and I'm going to talk about it as bad as possible and do this, that, the other. No, I'm not being a good servant. If I, you know, go around saying, man, this business, it fucked me over bad, and I'm upset, and it gets old. It gets old feeling that feeling, or feeling the feelings of, oh, I'm going to be stuck the rest of my career. I'm not going to move forward with my career in wrestling. That's when you start losing the mental war that is professional wrestling. Because it can be great. You know, you're a great athlete. You can move. You can jive. You can talk on the mic. You can do. You have it all. But at one point in your career, you know, there's going to be a time when the crowd turns on you, or that they don't care for you anymore, or they remember you, but they just don't care for you. There's always going to be peaks and valleys in pro wrestling, and it's always a consistent learning game all the time. And Danny's taught me a lot, you know, even if it's just a day at his super camps, I already absorbed knowledge, and I want to just clean that slate and learn more, because there's so much to offer at his school, whether it be a super camp. Because look, Gerald Briscoe, Punishment Martinez, and more is going to be there to give, you know, not just me and Kurt and all the others that are coming with some knowledge about pro wrestling. But folks, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot in wrestling, not just that, you know, that can give you a well of knowledge. Brutal Bob Evans, you know, there's seminars, not just him. There's a lot of resources out there that'll help you gain what you need to gain from professional wrestling. And if you don't take advantage of it, you know, you're missing out. I just feel like I wanted to tell you guys, I felt closure. For the first time in my life, it just felt like a dark cloud had passed. I can see the sunlight a little bit, you know, not too much, but I can finally see what's in front of me. And so I'm really at this point in my career in wrestling where I could take a step back and say, maybe I'm not meant to do this, but maybe I was meant to do this. It's a process. It's not a definite, oh yeah, I was meant to be this, and this is what I'm going to be, because if you do that, then you're just putting labels on yourself. And I really, at this point, putting a label on myself wouldn't be good. Because I'm pretty sure, like I said, I made bad impressions on the people that I was with or surrounding Monster Factory. I made a better impression, but then I ran at my mouth again like an idiot. And I don't know how else to say I'm sorry other than here on person, whatever I have to do to make it right. But, you know, I let things bother me. When I get, you know, I feel like I'm ignored. I had a bad experience in the past, and I finally got over it. It took me, you know, almost 2 years to get over what had happened. But now I'm at that point in my career where I know I'm not well known, but I'm getting myself out there. I'm getting stuff noticed on the Wrestle Radio page. I'm getting stuff noticed on the Wrestle Radio Instagram. I am, you know, doing a mad social science experiment by having Granny Hulkster now on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and a panel every Wednesday after a pay-per-view with three other personalities. Not just show-wise, man, it's personality-wise. You got to learn to grow as a person in this wrestling business. It's fucking crazy. Some say that I'm just saying this for attention, that I'm just, you know, doing this for my own, to hear my own voice. No. I'm doing this because I want to tell you guys, having closure in anything, not just pro wrestling, is the key. Because if I didn't have that closure moment on Saturday where I, you know, expressed how I felt from an emotional, mental standpoint, not a lot of guys are into expressing how they feel. Like, man, I'm burned out, or man, I feel like, you know, I just feel like that sometimes, man, there's pressure. It's like a pressure cooker. Eventually it's going to explode. That's the way I was feeling, because I've been booking so many trips to Kansas City, you know, booking so many trips to different places, getting rental cars if needed, you know, getting hotels, getting all this. It's a long lifestyle to abide by, or not. It's a difficult lifestyle to abide by in wrestling if you don't have funds. In other words, you know, I'm just trying to keep my head above water sometimes, but it's fun when you look past all that shit and just focus on the good. And by focusing on the positive, meaning I get to spend time with my brother, I get to see him kick ass, and it makes me smile. And it makes me smile that he was the one that helped me get closure and helped me get past all the negative bullshit. And it's just... it's just one thing where you just put in your head, okay, I can do this. I can man up. I can say I'm sorry. And if they don't accept my apology, I just move on. But at least they know that I'm sorry for what I've done. They as in the people that I just had bad attitude towards, you know, whether I was justified or not. Or not just people in wrestling, man. It's just the business itself. It can either work for someone or not work for someone. And I know I was forcing a lot of things. So instead of forcing things, I'm just letting myself immerse myself into the business, learn about it a little bit more. It's just, it's a one big learning curve. You always, wrestling's always evolving. It's always a business that can be giving people the right or the chances that they need to take. Or it's a business that gives a lot of people second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances to make things right, to make candles burn at both ends. In other words, you know, a lot of people give me chances to say, hey, quit doing the bullshit. Just be yourself. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I'm not giving up, but, you know, I needed to take that step back. I needed to reflect on what it is that I need to fix. So please understand that if I, you know, say I've got closure, that means I've found some peace in my life regarding the wrestling business, because I've had a lot of mental up and downs, a lot of mental ups and downs with this business we call professional wrestling, the sport that is professional wrestling. It's not fun. It's not, you know, fun reflecting upon what I did wrong, but it needed to be done and needed that closure. I needed that conversation Saturday because I would have been driven nuts if I would have held in anymore how I felt about what I, you know, what my value is. So therefore, I want to say thank you to my brother for doing what he did, allowing me to express my concerns, allowing me to just be myself and to finally move fucking forward. It's about damn time. Anyways, folks, you can catch me and Granny Hulkster tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Central. If you didn't believe in what I'm telling you today on this lovely, awesome, short show, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh, and just a little ode to Macho Man, but dig the madness. Oh, yeah. I don't have to work today. This is kind of awkward. But toodles. Damn lady interrupting moi. Toodles, bitches.